You're going to turn to Psalm 119 in verse number 97. And Brother Luke's going to read a couple of verses here for us.
Psalm 119, starting at verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for their testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Be going to be directed toward. Great need, Lord, for you this morning. I cannot help anybody, Lord, but your word can, and you can, your spirit can, and I pray that, Father, you would just help me, Father, to communicate the message that you've given to me, you've encouraged me with, and Lord, to be able to communicate that message to our church here this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you would please let the word of God go out forth from this place, Lord, outside of these walls. And Lord, even as it goes with the Putnams down to Brazil, and God, you please will just spread that word like wildfire down there. And may souls be saved and lives changed. And God, may you see churches started for the glory of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us, Father, to be a small part of that. Help us, Lord, to be a large part of what you're trying to do here in Austin, Texas. And God, may we have hope and confidence in the Word. And may we see that, Lord, it's not something that, Lord, is optional. It's not a choice. It's something that, Lord, we all must have in our lives. If we're going to be spiritual Christians, Lord, if we're going to be growing, God, we need to be in this Word. I need to be in it more. I pray that, Father, you please would just forgive me of the times that I'm not in it when I should be. And help us all, Lord, to be people of the Word, to be a church of the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Luke read, he read that verse in number Psalm 119:97. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." All the day. Today's message is simply entitled, is that the Word of God is not optional for the Christian. The Word of God is not optional for the Christian. Reading the Word of God is just simply not optional. There was a World War II, and times there was a soldier that showed up on an island in the South Pacific, and they were canvassing the land, and one of the natives of that particular island came up to the soldier, and he was holding his Bible proudly and holding it up for him to see, and just proudly smiling and looking at this word, and knowing that the Word of God that he had in his hand had actually came from some American missionaries, and he was excited about having the Bible in his hand. And the World War II soldier kind of looked at him and kind of jeered and just kind of said, "You know, I appreciate your sentimentalism and everything, but we've just kind of outgrown that thing." And the South Pacific Islander said to him, he said, "Well, I'm glad that I haven't outgrown it, because if by now I would have eaten you." You know, You know, the word of God for that soldier was not optional. It was, he was glad that he, that South Pacific Islander did not think to himself, you know what, eating people is not an option. You know what I mean? It's not something I can or can't do. He had made a firm decision in his mind that that was wrong. And obviously that had came because the word of God had touched his heart and touched his life and had changed him. I'm here to tell you today and to proclaim before you today that there's one thing that is on the face of the world that can and will change you, and it's God's Word. You can go to the best psychiatrist or the best psychologist, and I'm not a doctor, nor have I ever claimed to be, but I'll tell you right now, they won't help you like God's Word can help you. In fact, I don't know if you look over the history of psychiatry and psychology over the last 100 years, you'll find that they don't produce very good results whatsoever. It was like a friend of mine by the name of John Yawls, and some of you know him. He's an evangelist in the prisons and works down there, and he had an argument with a, he didn't actually have an argument. It was a guy that came in from Alcoholics Anonymous there in the prison, and he kind of instigated an argument with Brother Yawls, and he said, "You don't like AA." Brother Yawls said, "I didn't say anything to you." He said, "You don't like AA." He said, I'm not here to talk about AA here. I'm just here to preach the word. I'm here to tell people about Jesus Christ." He said, "No, you don't like AA." He said, "You've pushed me long enough, buddy." He said, "Here's the thing." He said, "You know what the first thing about AA is this, is that you stand up and you say, hi, my name is John, and I'm an alcoholic." He said, "Here's the thing about my life." He says, "I was an alcoholic for 30-something years of my life." He said, "But when Jesus saved me, guess what? I stopped being an alcoholic, and I started being a Christian. And God changed me because of the Word of the living God." The Word of God is not optional. I feel like, and sometimes as a pastor, that I don't know if I have or if I haven't or whatever it might be, but I want us to get away from the thought or from the idea that I can or I cannot, I have to or I don't have to read my Bible. I don't really, it's kind of optional. And I think that maybe sometimes, I don't know if it ever has been, but I just want to make that clear today that it's not optional. Right. It's not something you get a choice on. Now, don't take me wrong here. What I don't mean is this, as I don't mean that we're robots and that we just kind of say, I'm not saying that, well, we don't have an option. You're kind of plugged in and like you're going to read the Bible, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and one more day whenever it's leap year, okay? That's not what I mean. What I mean is this, is that the Word of God is so powerful, so life-changing, so amazing, so dramatic, so awesome, so much of a thing that even the Bible says that you're being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you realize the very thing that saved your soul was the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, and guess what? The Word of God. The Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So if the faith that saved you in the Word of God that God gave to you to save your soul saved you by the hearing of the Word, how much more faithful can you be if you'll stay in the Word? See, the Word of God is not optional, and I fear that as Christians we have made it somewhat of an option. We've kind of made it maybe a point of, well, if I make it around to read my Bible this morning, I will. Well, I kind of missed a couple of days. That's okay. God understands. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, that the Word of the Lord is something that endures forever. It's something that God wants us in every single day. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God actually esteemed His Word so highly, so great, that He said, you know what I'm going to do with my Word? I'm going to make the Word flesh. Because you know what the one thing the Bible's all about? Anybody take an answer? It's a name. It's two names. Can anybody know what the Word of God is all about? It's all about Jesus Christ, all right? That's not a trick question, okay? It's about Jesus Christ, okay? That's what the Word is about. You say, well, it's about this, it's about that. Okay, yes, it has a lot of other sub-themes, but the one theme is this, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Him crucified, risen, and coming again. All right, that's what the Word of God is about, all right? Get that firmly planted in your mind. Every time you read the Bible, you say, I'm reading the book of Numbers this week, Pastor. You tell me there's something there found in the book of Numbers. I'm telling you there's something in the book of Numbers that's all about Jesus Christ, my friend. Every bit of it. None of it changes. So it's not optional. It's not something we get a choice on. Not only that is the simple fact of that, but the simple fact of this, the matter is that people have died to get this Bible into our hands. They died so that we could read the Word of God. So the Word of God's not optional, but I want to tell you what it is, and it's found in your Bibles, of course, in Psalm 119, and that will be our chapter today. I find it interesting that the longest chapter in the book of Psalms and the longest chapter in all the Bible has one theme, the Bible. Isn't that interesting? In fact, the Bible says that he has esteemed his word. He said, I esteem my word above my name. You ever thought about that? The name of God? Whenever Isaiah heard the name of the Lord and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He fell down. I mean, he was just almost like a dead man. But God says, I've esteemed my word above my name. It's a powerful word. The word of God, I want to tell you this morning, is desirable. It's desirable in three different ways. It's desirable because it's more desirable than food, it's more desirable than money, and it's more desirable than relationships. Look here in Psalm chapter number 119 and verse number 103. Brother Luke already read this verse, but let's read it again. It says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is the Word of God to you today more powerful? Is there a greater drive for you to read God's Word than to eat food? Than to eat food. Think about when you're hungry. Some of you are saying, I'm still hungry right now. I didn't get breakfast. You know, you're just practicing the old children's psalm, my Bible I'll have before breakfast, right? You haven't got your Bible yet, so you haven't eaten any breakfast yet. But here's the thing. Is the drive that you have to eat, is it greater than your drive to read the Word of God? Job said it like this. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Job said it like this, that he esteemed that the Word of God, he loved it better than his necessary food. Better than the food that he had in front of him. He esteemed that word greater than that right there. Is your drive for the Word of God greater than the drive that you have when you wake up in the morning after you have broke fast, if you will, right? That's what breakfast stands for, break fast. You've broken fast. You've slept all night. Now you've broken your fast. Man, you wake up ready to go. Man, my daughter Marissa, whenever she wakes up in the morning, she's half asleep. Her eyes are basically closed. She's sleepwalking as she's getting up in the morning, and I tell you what, man, she has a way of just going through the maze of the house and finding her way right to the pantry, right to her favorite cereal, turning around, getting her milk, getting her bowl, getting her spoon, and man, she's just eating. She hadn't said a word to nobody, and she's not going to say a word to anybody for a little while because her first initiative in the morning is to eat. She loves to eat in the morning. That's her thing. I've obviously got a couple of kids, but not all of them are like that, but man, that's where she's going in the morning. She's going to eat. I don't know what you're going to do whenever you leave here. Maybe you've got something going on the stove. Maybe you got something you're looking forward to eating. But have you have a desire? Did you wake up this morning and go, you know what? I got to get some of the word. I got to get a little bit of that word in me. I got to find. I got to read the Bible this morning. I got to find some time to read God's word. How about your love for money? Look here. It says in Psalm 1 in the. I keep saying Psalm 119. I'm going to stop saying that. But just look here at verse number 127. Verse number 127, it says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Is your love for God's word greater than your love for money? Is your love for God's word greater than your love for money? You can tell that by the fact that you go to work perhaps every single day. Maybe you make a living. Maybe you do something like that. But do you find time before you go out and before you eat or before you even go to your workplace? Do you find some time? Do you know what? I'm going to read God's Word. It's better than making money. It's better than having all the gold in all the world. It's better than having all the money in all the world. What about more powerful than human interaction? You know, whenever you find some studies about people that are left alone for long periods of time, they don't have anybody to talk to, very quickly the love of money fades away, all right? I mean, when you don't have anybody and you have no reason to spend any money, guess what? You don't got any reason for money, right? Food, well, you know what? That you get hungry, but you might say, you know what? I can find some food. I can maybe do this. I can do that. I can fish. I can hunt. I can find something in the woods to kind of sustain me maybe. I can do that. But you know there's one thing that when people are alone that bothers them the worst is not talking to anybody. Not having a relationship. And so is God's Word able to meet that need? We'll look here at verse number 135. At number 135, it tells us this. It says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes." We don't know who wrote Psalm 119. Some say David did. Some said Ezra did. Some said another scribe did. But it's not really important who wrote it. We know it's God inspired, all right? We know God gave this to us for a purpose to understand that God's Word is more desirable than food, than money, and even for human relationships. God's Word can sustain us through all of those things. You say, how do I get face to face with God? Well, what does the Bible say in Matthew 5:8? It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You say, how do I get pure? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look here in the same exact chapter, verse number 9. What does it say? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Go to 140 and look what it says. "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." How are you going to have a face-to-face interaction with God? Who was the man that it says in the Bible that knew God, as spoke to God as a man face-to-face? Who was that man? Does anybody know that man? Moses. He knew God. I don't know if there's anybody in the whole entire world that knew God better than Moses. I really don't know that. He spoke to God as a man speaketh to his friend face-to-face, all right? What was Moses doing on the mount? Writing the word. He was in the word every single day, 40 days and 40 nights, and may I remind you, no food and no water. He comes down from the mount, and I know this joke was told the other day, but it was just so good. And Moses comes down from the mount and he's the only person in history that breaks all 10 commandments at the exact same time. And, and he comes down from the mount, he scourges out the people of God, and then what does he do? He goes back to the top of the mount and stays another 40 days and 40 nights, no food and no water. Say, I don't believe it. Well, it's in the Bible. You can read it yourself, all right? It says it four different times. No food, no water, no food, no water, no food, no water, no food, no water. You say, a man can't live without water for more than 3 days. I know he can't, but you know what? People can't walk on water either, okay? But with God, all things are possible. How did this man know God so well? I'll tell you why. He was in the Word. How in the world are you going to make sure that food, relationships, and money and all of those things combined do not hold your heart, but rather God's Word holds your heart? Well, here's the second thing. Here's an answer to that question. The answer to that question is found in the next point, is because not is the Word of God desirable. It's not optional, but it's desirable, more desirable than my food, my money, and my relationships, but it's also understandable. It's also understandable. Now, here's the thing, is that Don't get confused. There are some, as the Bible says, as Peter speaks of Paul's writings in 2 Peter chapter number 3, he says, there are some people that wrest the scriptures to their own destruction, all right? There's some people that are twisting and turning the scriptures to their own destruction, like a Christmas card that I once read one time. It was a Christmas card, and maybe the author thought it was doing a good job trying to apply some context to the Christmas story and everything, and they wrote on the card a little verse that said, the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. I thought, man, that's a good verse, but the only problem is this. That comes from Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 10 when it's talking about God's prophets being killed by the Antichrist, all right? All right? Understand sometimes that the Word of God should be used in context, all right? We can't wrest the Scriptures to our own description. We can't use the Scriptures to however we see it fit to be in our whole entire lives. But the Word of God is understandable. I mean, seriously, just for a second, let's just be very honest with ourselves. Go to verse number 1 of Psalm 119. If you're saved, born again by the Spirit of God this morning, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, then you know what? And you know what? Also, the Bible tells us that it says in 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You know all, and you need not that any man teach you, for you have an unction and you have this anointing from God, then you know all things. That means that God can show you. The Word of God is not of any private of interpretation, the Bible tells us, all right? I'm not this special priest that has been a dude with power from on high to understand the Word of God and you don't know it, all right? That's not what the Word of God teaches at all. But here's the thing, the Word of God is understandable. Which one of you this morning cannot read Psalm 119, verse number 1, and not understand this? Can you not understand, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord? If I walk according to God's Word, I will be blessed. Is that hard to understand? How hard is that to understand? Is it hard to understand what he says in verse number 11? Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If I read God's Word, memorize God's Word, put it in my heart, then guess what? The chances of me sinning against God become less and less. Right. Is that hard to understand? It really ought to bother us when people say, I just don't understand the Bible. You know, there's three things that are really happening there. Number one, get saved. When somebody, I just don't understand anything in the Bible. Well, then you need to get saved, all right? If you don't understand any of the Bible, maybe the reason is because you're not saved, all right? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he what? Know them. You can't even know God's Word if you're not saved, all right? Don't listen to your unsaved friends what they think about God's Word. They don't know what God's Word means, all right? They're wresting it to their own destruction. They're turning it and twisting it and using it for their own pleasure and for their own good. I like what Mark Twain said. He's talking about passages that you don't understand. Because there are some passages, amen? Luke and I were just talking about a passage over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15, about women shall be saved through the childbearing. And man, we went through a lengthy talk and discussion about all those kinds of things. And if you want to know more details about that, talk to Brother Luke, all right? He knows it all. So, but here's the deal. There are some things that are sometimes hard to understand, okay? But here's the thing. I love what Twain said. He said, I'm not bothered so much by the passages that I don't understand. He said, I'm bothered by the passages of the scriptures that I do understand and I don't apply them to my life. Wow. True. And Twain was unsaved. Right. Twain made no profession of faith to God whatsoever, to Jesus Christ, but he said those words, and I think, you know what? What powerful words those are. And sometimes it seems that the children of unrighteousness are smarter and wiser than the children of righteousness, like Jesus said. Let us be wise in the scriptures. You say, I don't understand the Word of God. Then read it till you understand it. Find something you do understand. Read the Gospels. How hard is it to understand what's going on with Jesus healing a sick man or raising up the dead? That's not that difficult, all right? It's not that hard to understand that the Bible teaches us what it teaches us in the book of 1 John. In fact, I would tell you that this week you ought to take some time and just read 1 John. If you can't read 1 John in a week, that's really sad, all right? That's 5 chapters in 7 days. And the first chapter is only 10 verses long, okay? Wouldn't it be great if every single one of us were on the exact same page when we came back here next Sunday and we had all read 1 John? You say, well, are you going to talk about 1 John next week? Probably not. That's not the point. Point is this. What if we were all on the same page and we had read God's Word together, put it in our hearts, and said, you know what? This is what God's Word says. This is awesome. This is great. This is an amazing thing. I've never really seen God's Word in this light before. I've never really got into this thing before like I'm doing right now. And if you still don't understand it, then here's the thing. You say, but I hear people all the time, well, those words are just so hard to understand. When was the last time it was hard to pick up a Webster's dictionary? An 1828 dictionary. I tell you what, it's all on your phone now. Right. Nobody has an excuse. My phone even will let me know if a word is a little bit hard to understand, and it actually gives me a little thing. All I got to do is push on it, and it will send me to a definition. Is that, I mean, it's that easy. We have made it. One of the things is this. Ask ourselves, have we made reading the Word of God so accessible, attainable, and easy that we just don't do it anymore? My dad's a Gideon's given out Bibles all in many different countries. And you know what? He finds out that the countries that don't have the Word of God are wanting the Word of God. They're wanting, I want to read something, you know? I want to read this Bible they don't have. You go back to my office, I don't know how many Bibles I've got back there. 10, 12, 15, I don't know how many I've got back there. Got one on my phone, got 5 at my house, 6 or 8 at my house, got 2 or 3 in my car. I got Bibles everywhere. Maybe the one reason, what if the Bible was taken away from us, and that would be a crying shame, wouldn't it? What if the Word of God had to be taken away from us in order for us to read it more? Get a dictionary. Get a good study Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I tell you what, it's not only understandable, it's not only desirable, but it's also attainable. All right? It's attainable. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean by that is this, is that the last time I checked is that the New Testament, and I misquoted myself on Wednesday night, the New Testament is not 279 chapters long, it's 259 chapters long, all right? It's 259 chapters long. Do you realize that's one chapter a day in less than a year you should be able to read the New Testament? There's no excuse for any of us to not have read the New Testament. There's no excuse. You say, that's harsh. I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm just trying to be real. There's no excuse for it. There's no reason why you couldn't read the New Testament every single year. In fact, if you really want to buckle down, do you realize that the whole Bible can be read by just reading 3.25 chapters a day? 3 1/4 chapters every single day. You know what that is? About 15 minutes of your time. Some chapters are longer than others. It makes up for it whenever you start reading it. Put that word into your heart. Get it inside of there. Make sure to understand, because the Bible reading is not optional. You don't have a choice. You know why? Because there is no other choice. There is no other choice. There's nothing else we should be doing. I know it's easier. You know what? It's easier. If you may testify right here. It's easier to pick up a magazine and read a magazine than it is to read the Bible. It's easier to read a newspaper. It's easier to read a blog on the internet. It's easier to scroll down through your Facebook page for 15 or 20 minutes than it is to read the Bible for 15, 20 minutes. I know that. You know why? Because the flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. But the Spirit of God and the flesh that's within us, it's working against each other. It's contrary one to another, and you cannot do the things that you would. We should be reading our Bibles every single day. There's not a time in our life where we shouldn't. You say, Pastor, have you always read the Bible every single day? No, I haven't always read the Bible every single day, all right? There's been times that I've skipped. There's been times where I've gone through droughts. You know what? And I was wrong for doing that. I was wrong. That was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong. The Bible says that I ought to be meditating in His Word every single day. So I was wrong. And we're all wrong if we're not reading the Word of God. You say, how do I get it? How is it attainable? Well, look here at verse number 15. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts and I have respect unto thy ways. It's possible through meditation. You say, what's meditation? Sitting on my hands and knees and, you know, crossing my legs and putting my hands like this. No, that's not meditation, all right? That's something else that Buddha and others made up, all right? That's not meditation, what the Bible's talking about. Meditation is simply this, grabbing one thought and thinking about it all day long. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20 tells us there a thought that I grabbed just a couple of days ago that he says, and no lie is of the truth, all right? That's not even the whole verse. No lie is of the truth. You know what hit me all of a sudden? Guess what? Amazing thought. This is ground shaking, all right? You ready for this? Lying and truth cannot exist together. Wow. That's earth shattering thoughts right there. Yeah, it was. For me, really it was, because it really settled in my mind even furthermore that, you know what? Jesus said, I am the truth, and he cannot be divided. He's either telling the lie or he's telling the truth. He can't do both. And he just settled it even more in my heart that Christ is the truth, and I'm following the truth. Praise God, I'm following the truth. I've been led in this way of righteousness. Look at number 36. Look at verse number 36 where he says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. He's telling him here, he says, incline my heart. Let my heart go in this direction. What is he doing right here? He's praying. He's praying. You ever prayed and said, Lord, I need help reading your word? In fact, if you don't understand God's word, look at verse number 18. If you don't understand it, then you need to ask God to open mine eyes, Lord. As he says in verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Do we start off by praying that way? Look at verse number 147 and verse number 148. I tell you why it's also attainable is because, look what he says, it's attainable because you can wake up early or go to bed late. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. It's attainable because, you know what, sometimes you just need to leave the light on a little bit longer before you go to bed. You know, we all can just do this, turn off the power. And my wife tells me, you know what, that's the hardest thing for a man to do is push the power button, you know what I mean, on the TV sometimes, you know. Hardest thing to close that laptop down. Hardest thing to do. Sometimes, even as a pastor, sometimes I can get to studying and get to getting into to studying and writing a message or whatever. And you know what, I think that's making up for my time of perhaps maybe getting into the Word of God. But you know what, I've realized that doesn't make up for the time that I need to be reading the Word of God and just simply reading it. That's one thing that that's one thing that I've asked Luke to come up here and read a couple of Sundays. We just did that last Sunday, but you know what the Bible says in 1 Timothy? He says, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. We ought to read God's word. One young Christian man came to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I want to try to read, but it just doesn't seem like I get anything out of the Word of God. And I've heard Christians say that. I believe true born-again Christians say, I just can't seem to get anything out of the Word of God. What's wrong with me? And the pastor just looked at him. He said, son, here's the thing. He said, no matter how much water you pour into a colander, everybody knows what a colander is, right? He said, no matter how much water you pour into a colander, he said, guess what? He said, it's never going to hold any water. But you know what? The more water you pour into a colander, he said, guess what? The cleaner it gets. And I tell you what, you might not get something from God's word this morning or the next morning or the next morning. In fact, I'll tell you this, sometimes according to the word of God even right here, look at verse number 82 of our text. Look at verse number 82. He says, mine eyes fail for thy word, when wilt thou comfort me? Can I tell you, sometimes the Word of God will not seem sufficient. You're going to read it and it's not going to seem like what you needed that at that moment in that hour. The Word of God is not something it's not like a boost of energy. It's not like a shot in the arm or anything like that. The Word of God is like a vitamin that you take every single day to maintain good health, all right? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Jesus, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, Christ gave his life for the church in order that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You say, I don't get anything out of my word. Guess what? The word is getting something out of you. It's called S-I-N, sin. You say, I'm not getting anything out of the word. That doesn't matter. The word of God is trying to cleanse you. It's trying to make you into something that you're not right now. That you say, I just don't believe it. Then that's your problem right there. You don't have the faith to believe that if I will read the word of God, that I'll actually be a better Christian. Some people give Budweiser 6 years, but they won't give the word of God 6 months. They won't give God's word a chance. Have you given it a chance? You say, I read it for a couple of weeks. That's not a chance. That's not a chance. You don't just take God's word for a couple of weeks and read it and say, I didn't get anything out of it. You know what? Maybe God's trying to prove you and test you. You need to be in God's word every single day. Because not only is it attainable, it's understandable, it's desirable, but it's available. And I already kind of alluded to this. I won't get it repeated again. But we've all got a Bible. We've got no excuse for not reading our Bibles. You say, I cannot read well. All right? Well, then here's, I'll be very loving and kind at this moment. I don't know if I've been tried to be loving and kind the whole time, but I'll be very loving and saying this and compassionate. If you don't know how to read in here, can I tell you, you should come to me, because I know people right now that would help you read. All right? I know people that would help you read. I would help you to be able. There's things out there to help you read. But really, in reality, nobody has an excuse. God's word's been written down in Braille, all right? And you know what I can do sometimes? I can go down the road, put in the headphones, and push play on my Bible app, and guess what? It displays the Bible. Amen. In dramatic format, and it sounds really cool too, all right? We don't have any reason. We've been given all the reasons to read the word of God. Every single, there's no excuse. The word of God, reading it, is no option in reading the word of God. It's not an optional thing. It's not the elective on the college course app, my friend. It is the main thing. When I went to school, I did not want to take EN 101 and 102. But I come to find and realize that by making a C minus and a C plus, that guess what? I had problems with English, okay? And that's why they gave it to every single freshman that came into college. Because people need to learn how to write and read before they'd be able to do anything else. It wasn't an optional course, okay? Here's the thing. The Word of God is not optional. It's not an elective. It's not volleyball or tennis or anything like that in the college courses, my friend. It is the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever, forever and forever. It never stops. And wouldn't it be a terrible thing to get to glory one time? And I'm telling you right now, we're going to be judged according to our works. You get to glory one time and God says, you never read my Bible through one single time? Not one time? You never read it? Well, I didn't know it was there. Well, it was there because I put it in there. Well, I read it through once. Why didn't you read it through again? Why didn't you read it through again? The signs of a wore-out Bible are usually a signs of not a wore-out Christian. Somebody that wears out a Bible and has to go through Bible after Bible after Bible after Bible after Bible. And here's the thing. I'm not saying because you read your Bible that you're a spiritual person or anything like that. But I'm going to let you know that here's the thing. Is that if you read your Bible, you're more likely to be a spiritual person than not be a spiritual person. All right? Read the Word of God. I'm so sick and tired of people putting down people that are saying they're Pharisees and they're this and that because, oh, I read my Bible too many chapters a day. You know what? I'm glad for some people that are going to read their Word of God every single day. 13 chapters a day that you could read your Bible through in 3 months. That's four times a year. Man, we give more time to Facebook and social media and the TV than we give to that right there. We ought to be in this Word. It's what changes us. Say, I don't feel it changing me. Well, you know what? You're not going to feel it changing you all the time. There's no excuse. There's no reason. There's no option. There's no choice because it's the only choice. I hope we don't walk out away here thinking, I wonder what Pastor preached on today. You should all walk out of here with understanding that, you know what? I need to read my Bible. If you didn't read it this morning, then shame on you. You came to church unprepared. You came to church unprepared, not ready for church. You know how you fix that? You repent. And you go home this afternoon. And before you decide to eat some lunch, you read your Bible. Because it's more desirable than food. That's what you do. It's more important than anything. I know that sounds harsh. But I'll tell you right now, this is the Word right here. The Word was made flesh. And when you're missing out on the Bible, I can only give you so much Bible in three times a week. All right? I can only give you so much Bible, and some of you aren't able to make it to all three services. But here's the thing. You can have something right here in your hands every single day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You know what sometimes I do whenever I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep? I just get up out of my bed and I find my Bible and I read it. There's nothing that puts me to sleep sweeter than the Word of God. Read the Word. It's not optional. It's not a choice. It's desirable. It's understandable. It's attainable. It's available. But it's not optional. It's not optional. Let's stop making it optional. Father, thank you for what you do for us. Thank you.